Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us. We've been worshiping together wherever you are, all over the city, all over our community. This is an amazing moment for the church to stay connected to the Heavenly Father and to stay connected to you, our church family. So thank you so much for being together. This morning, we want to take a much needed deep breath together. And we want to be able to recognize the presence of God in our life and to be thankful for that, to recognize His word, His deep love, His mind that He says we have in Christ. God is forcing many of us who've been living our lives at a breakneck pace to slow down. Some of us have been forced to actually almost stop what we've been doing in our life. And it's given many of us an opportunity to reevaluate and to pray through what the greatest necessity, our priorities, have they lined up with Scripture or not? So what are we learning? I guess that many of us have things that even in the last couple of weeks, we are learning that God is teaching us. And we'd love to hear from you about what God is teaching you. Please feel free to share those with us online. Last week, Pastor Tyler absolutely hit a grand slam sharing God's word about fear. It was amazing, and we're so grateful. We needed to hear that. Today, we're going to talk about the effects of stress and the battle for the mind. We're going to look at one of my most life-changing passages in all the New Testament together, and what I've come to understand in my life about stress, how it attacks the mind and the heart, and what we can do about it. Let's be honest. Sometimes we cause our own stress, don't we? Many of us don't really like to admit that, but we cause our own stress. Sometimes we are 100% convinced that other people cause our stress. Now, maybe some faces have come to mind for you. I've got some that are coming to mind to me as well. And maybe secretly, some of us even think, you know what? I'll bet God does this to me. Well, evidently, we need to pray together. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We thank you, God, that your presence, we have declared it as we worship. We have declared it many times when things are going well. God, we declare today, in the midst of stress and attack, our God is enough. Lord, would you help us today? Take some steps toward you and take some steps in our discipling journey to be more like Jesus. Lord, would you help all of us lean in right now and experience your presence in a very profound way? We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like for us to read the passage from Romans chapter 12 together. It's going to be from the New International Version, and it's going to be on the screen that you are watching presently. Read it with me. Maybe you want to read it out loud. That's what I do often. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now I'd like for us to read it together on the screens from the Message version, which many of you know is one of my favorite versions right now. It starts the same way. So here's what I want you to do. Read it with me. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now, to me, that sounds a lot like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that many of us memorized a long time ago that says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't rely upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Both of these passages are primers for engaging and walking in a life of faith with Jesus Christ. Let's be honest, life is tough. Life is tough. It may feel tougher right now than it has for a long time. And this life can absolutely stress us out. Yes, even Christ followers can become very stressed out and overwhelmed sometimes with the pressure from external things that seem to weasel their way in to our peace and our joy, our insides. Does that sound familiar to you? It certainly does to me. Often, it is the sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life that's stressful. Often, those are the things that stress us out. It's not always the big things, but the usual, the grind, the regular stuff that over time can stress us out. There's probably some level for you of stress that has attacked your mind, your peace, your joy, maybe even your strength with this COVID-19 virus. It's changed our world, our cities, our communities. It's even changing how the body of Christ stays connected to one another. That might be stressing many of us out. I understand that. But the best news is, so does the Heavenly Father. We can acknowledge all of that, and we could even commiserate together. But the real issue is how we're appropriating God's promise that says that He offers us peace that passes understanding. Let's be clear. Sometimes the promise of peace does not always fill us with an abundance to last for an entire day or even an entire week. Sometimes God chooses to bless us with His presence and His peace for just a moment, so that we can get our spiritual bearings back and we can continue to look to Him. Many of us have experienced that. The stress often comes back, and sometimes very, very quickly. And once again, we get to, as children of the Most High God, we get to declare our dependence on Him and stand on His promises once again. That absolutely does not mean that God didn't answer our prayer. It also doesn't mean that He will not continue to fulfill His promise. He ultimately wants me and you to rely completely on Him moment by moment by moment, over and over again. Of course, during the virus time, but on life past the virus, this is learning a more dependent way to actually rely upon the character of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had this particular issue before? You spend some time praying, and the best way you know how, you give all that stress to God. You trust Him to handle it, and then 5 minutes later, you feel that insane stress, maybe even worse, all over again. How does that happen? Why does that happen? It actually happens to all of us, and we are situated and postured once again to submit ourselves to God, move close to Him, and declare our dependence upon Him. As often as it attacks our heart and minds, we get to do that. Submit to God, move close to Him, and declare our dependence upon Him. He continually will surround us with His presence. Yes, the Prince of Peace, He will help us take a step toward Him. As often as stress comes against us, we get to begin by setting our mind on Christ. This is the way that looks. I choose to look at Him. I choose to look at Jesus. I choose to believe Him. I choose to depend upon Him. I choose to trust Him. This is the power of God in His Word, and His Word is now in me, and His Word works every time. He is a keeper of every single promise that He has ever made to us. It takes practice on our part to take in the Word, to breathe out the Word, and to live by practice according to the Word. When I look at Jesus, I actually see Him in the Word of God. You know, the psalmist gives us so many beautiful expressions of who God is and how powerful, how strong, how majestic, how holy, how forgiving, how loving He is. And as I read His attributes, I see Him for who He is. So let me ask you a question. What are you stressed about right now? What have you been stressed about over the last month? Is it the COVID-19 virus? Is it politics? Is it terror attacks of some sort? Is it your own personal struggles with your children? Maybe with aging parents? Are you worried about your plans for the future financially? Stress is like a dripping faucet. The book of Proverbs actually calls it that. Any of you relate to that? That dripping faucet can become maddening over time, and we would almost do anything to get it to stop. That's what Proverbs says about stress. Some of us are just simply sewn up as worriers. I'm sure some of you can identify with that personally, or you know somebody who's just a worrier. But let me remind us, worrying is a pattern of this world. Think of all the words that we've associated with the word stress. Worry, fret, freaking out. I just love to hear little children learn new phrases or words, don't you? They learn how to use those words or phrases, and they don't even necessarily know where they fit, but they just start repeating them over and over. When my oldest grandson, Carson, was only 4 years old, he learned that phrase, freaking out. He would sometimes say, "Papa Clay, Grandma Lori is freaking out." We all got a great laugh about that, but actually, that phrase is a way many of us live our life. We're simply freaking out. We are trying to do life at the edge of freaking out all the time, which I think is actually an oxymoron. You see, that's not real life. That's not the kind of life that Jesus has promised. So why does stress find a way to actually run our lives, overwhelm our thoughts? That's not the life the Father paid His own life for. There's got to be a better way. Well, there is. Sometimes we get stressed because we want to please God. It's a noble, wonderful thing that we want to please Almighty God. We think maybe somehow He's not already pleased with our lives. He's not pleased with our own attempts, our best effort. I just love the Message version of that text that we have already read. Embracing what God does for you is the very best thing you can do for Him. You see, you've already got God's pleasure. He delights in you right now. But stress has a way of stripping away the delight of the Lord in our lives. We don't have to live this way. Many, if not all of us, have a normal desire to do well, to excel, to move ahead, maybe even to advance. These are all very normal desires. God actually sews us up like that. Those are not mistakes on His part or on our part. However, when all or much of what I do for people to notice, I'm looking for their approval to validate my feelings. That, my friends, will bring more stress. I've lived like that for many years. But if I could begin practicing, do all that I do as unto the Lord, as the audience of one, the stress to impress will actually drain away from my life. Let me speak to you for a moment. Child of God, you already have the approval of Almighty God. You are already deeply loved and highly valued and favored. And in the heavenlies, the scripture says, you are seated next to Christ. That's already a done deal. Now, it's not as though Jesus cannot understand. Oh, he knew stress. In the temple, he knew stress, seeing those money changers really change the atmosphere of prayer in his father's temple. In the garden, as he was begging his father to remove the next coming 24 hours of pain and torture. As he was enduring the torture and the scourging, as he was carrying the cross, as he was being rejected by his father, the emotional rejection and stress on Jesus' heart, he cried out, "Why, Father, why have you forsaken me?" Talk about stress. So what did Jesus do with his stress? Well, not only did he feel stress, he dealt with it the same way that we are taught by Scripture to deal with our stress. He submitted to his Father. He took a mental, emotional, and physical step toward God. And he declared his dependence upon God. That's exactly what Jesus did with his stress. And it will work for us as well. Many of us have at least heard Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We spoke it together earlier. But something the Lord showed me just this last week that I'm not sure I'd ever seen before. It actually shows up in verse 7. And it says it this way. Stop seeing yourself as wise in your own eyes. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health and your very bones will vibrate with life. That's absolutely what I want. I want my very bones to vibrate with real life. What is usual, what is normal, what is ordinary right now is stress times 500%, right? Just because we've slowed down, just because we've changed our pace, many of us have even stopped doing a lot of the things that we thought prior to this moment were the very things that were causing us stress. We've stopped all that, but now we've got something new to stress about. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Stress is not going to stop in this world. Stress is not going to stop attacking our hearts and minds. Just a few years ago, when our children were growing up in our home, we had such a great time, Lori and I, just being able to love our kids through different seasons of their life. Lori found the most incredible plaque that we hung in our home, and it really changed the game for us. And this is what the plaque said. It's really a scriptural approach. It says, prepare the child for the path, not the path for the child. You see, most of us would do anything we could do for ourselves, for our children, for our friends, to make things easy, to remove all obstacles, all barriers. But the most important thing we could ever do is to recognize that stress will not stop. But God, through his word, gives us all kinds of tools to deal with it. Our path will not be void of stress. Following Jesus will not remove stress from our lives. He never promised that, and it will not happen. But you can absolutely, even this morning, gain some new traction in your faith journey as stress attacks your mind and your heart. Jack Hayford, who is a longtime pastor and author, who used to speak at Promise Keepers events, has really become a hero of mine at a distance. I read everything he wrote. I listened to all the songs that he penned that were worship songs. And his life at a distance helped shape my heart for the Lord. Years ago at one of those events, he shared this little scenario. He said, I used to come to God all the time in my prayer life, and he said things like this, God, you know all the stuff I've got to do today? You know, I've got a lot of responsibilities, God. I'm kind of a big deal. Don't know if you know that or not. So I really want you to bless all this stuff. And he came to the place in his life where he began to pray this way instead. Heavenly Father, this is your little boy, Jack. What would you have me do today? Show me what you're doing and simply let me join you. That really will not necessarily remove your list of things you've got to do, your responsibilities. It won't necessarily take away the attacks that would seek to destroy our peace, but it reorders my steps and it will reorder your steps to join God in the middle of stress, in the midst of attack, to lock arms with God himself in the face of pain and suffering and even stress, to practice over and over and over declaring, Jesus, you are my peace. You see, striving equals stress. Counterintuitive to Scripture, striving equals stress. But God's clear command to us says this, cease striving. Just stop it, Clay. Stop striving and know that he alone is God. Let's not try to think that somehow we will grow past it or grow out of it. That's not going to happen either. But you have some incredible strength and some wonderful power at your disposal to use often and wisely. And you are going to have a lot of opportunities right now, maybe some that we've never imagined before, to practice this over and over and over. Hear those words from Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work or working from home life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. My friend, that's a beautiful act of worship, one that's good and pleasing and perfect for God himself. For me, praise has become such a gift over the last few years. You see, I personally am often very tormented by stress. For many, many years, I have not dealt well with stressful situations until I start to turn my eyes to Jesus and I focus on how big and how mighty and amazing and good he is. You see, I've discovered that that is a choice. God gives me a choice, but I have to take it. It's a choice. It's mine to make. But it unleashes the very presence of God himself, the Prince of Peace, the defender of my faith, the strong tower that I choose to run toward. Now that will take an ordinary, stressful, usual, normal life and turn it on its ear to become extraordinary in the midst of stress. All because I submitted to God, I moved closer to him, and I began to declare my dependence on him, and you can too. I would guess that everybody watching today would love to know somebody is praying for you. maybe even somebody praying with you. What kind of things would you want or need in your life right now that you would just absolutely crave somebody to pray on your behalf? Our staff and our deacons will take those requests even this morning, and we will enter the throne room of God for you on your behalf. And we will declare that God is strong and He is mighty. He is your defender. He is exactly what we need. You know, some of the most practical verses in the New Testament are found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Many of you know those verses very, very well. If you are struggling with stress and you just cannot stop the attack from taking your joy and robbing you of peace, here's what you and I can do to deal with that right now. Listen to these words. Speak them out loud with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Right now, God is standing watch over your mind and your heart. Our part is to practice what He says for us to do. His part, well, He will do the impossible. That will deal with my stress. I'm going to continue to practice this, and that will deal with your stress. And I trust that maybe today, for the very first time, you're going to allow the presence of God to speak peace and hope and joy and power into your heart and mind over and over and over today. We love you. We're so glad that you joined us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are so grateful for your promises that always, always work. God, thank you for giving us something specific, something practical we can do to invite your power to overshadow our stress. Father, we're grateful today that you don't leave us powerless. You don't leave us without comfort. You don't leave us without hope. We know you, and you are our hope. God, we put our trust in you over and over and over. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus together. And everybody, wherever you are, says amen.